love the Father has bestowed upon us. There's no doubt that God loves us. I mean, He saved us out of the pits that we were in. He saved us out of the mess that we were in and brought us to where we are today. Not that we're somebody or something, but God has brought us a long ways. Amen? I've been saved since I was 7 years old, and that's been a long time. And God has taken good care of me for all these years. He's never offended me. I've offended Him. He's never hurt me. I've hurt Him. He's never upset me. I've upset Him. He's never hurt me in any way, shape, or form. He's never did anything wrong to me. He's never told me one thing that was bad for me. But all He's done was help me. Even though times it seemed like it, He wasn't helping, and I thought He was against me and what was going on, He still loves me. And I found out that once I got through whatever it was, I found out that He knows best for me. Because that's a father's love. A father's love knows what's best for the children. A mother's love knows what's best for the children. No matter how hard things are and how rough things get, we know that we're in the palm of His hands. We know that we're His child and we're the church of the living God. And we know that we're in the direction that God would have us to go in. And ultimately, the best is yet to come. Amen? But I was thinking about the manner of love, and I got to think about, I wonder what manner of love that I love Him. What kind of love do I show to Him? What manner of love do I display from day to day in my love for Christ? I want to say I love God. I like to say I love God. I want to sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." I do love to sing, "Jesus loves me," but I like to sing, "I love Jesus." Amen. Because He first loved me. I like to say that I love Jesus, but I wonder if Jesus knows that I love Him. Not just because I told Him told Him maybe once a week or once a month or maybe even every day in a prayer saying, "Lord, I just love You." But I wonder if I've showed the Lord in my life that I love Him because He first loved me. Now this will make your Christian life a whole lot better off if we'll get this part down, when we start acting upon the love that God deserves, and start putting some action to the love that God deserves, and we start showing works and deeds in our love, and God sees that we really love Him. And I don't just love Jesus because He gives me things. I don't just love Jesus. I don't want to just love Jesus because He takes care of me. I want to love Jesus because He died for me. I want to love Jesus because He's my Lord. I want to love Jesus because He's my Savior. I want to love Jesus because He's my Father. I want to love Jesus because He's my friend. Amen. I want to love Jesus because He's my brother, my elder brother. I want to love Jesus because He was the ultimate sacrifice. I want to love Jesus in that intimate, that close way. I don't want to love Jesus just because He takes good care of me. Amen. So many times we focus on the things that He does for us, like the breath and the clothes and the food, and thank God for them things. Thank God for a roof over our head. Thank God for a family. Thank God for children, healthy children. Thank God for a mother or a dad or a wife or a husband. Thank God for a church. But that ain't all the reason why I should love God. Amen? I love Him, the Bible says, because He first loved me. Look in chapter 4, this passage of Scripture, chapter 4. And look with me, if you would please, in verse number 19. 19. We love Him because He first loved us. Let's back up here. Let's back up to verse number 10. Wherein is love? Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And God sent, He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, I like that two times there, love one another. Amen. Love one another. We've seen God at any time. God dwelleth in us. How do we know God dwelleth in us? If we love one another. And it says, and His love is perfected in us, whereby we know that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believe and believed the love that God hath to us. How many of y'all believed it? Known it and believed it? It says, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. Amen. And God in him, wherein is our love made perfect. How is our love made perfect? If we love others, a love like God loves. That's how your love is made perfect. There's no perfect marriage because you don't have a pure, holy marriage. Amen. But there is a perfect marriage concerning Christ and the church. Amen. It says, wherein is our love made perfect? That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? Pretty strong scripture there, isn't it? But it's evidence of God's love. You know how you know that you have the love of God in you? Again, because you love your brother. And the Bible even says, love your enemies. Verse 21, this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. So this love here is the manner of love here demonstrated in this passage of Scripture is a sacrificial love. Is a sacrificial love. How can you love your enemy? Because you have to sacrifice your pride. How can you love your brother that's done something wrong to you? Because you've got to sacrifice your own self. Somebody go to church. We're so caught up and worried about our own selfish things and our own selfish needs and our own selfish whatever. And when someone goes against us, we bowl up and buck up and we can't love somebody. Because if you love somebody, you'll forgive somebody. Somebody go to church. I said, if you love somebody, you'll forgive somebody. That's why the church is so great in the forgiving end of things. Or it should be so great in the forgiving end of things. Christians ought to be apt to forgive. Not just one day, one time a year. Hey, one time a month or one time a week. But how many times? 7 times 70. Add that up and add some more to it. God's trying to teach us the principle of forgiving your brother and loving. It's hard to love your brother right if you have bitterness in your heart. Am I right? And you have unforgiveness in your heart. So this is sacrificial love. Love that shows actions. God never had a problem displaying his love by actions, did he? The Bible says he went about doing good. From one day to the next, he just gave. There's giving people and then there's taking people. And the giving people are the people who love. Somebody go to church. The taking people are not, they don't understand the giving because love is giving. Love is giving. Give and it shall be given unto you. Love is not taking. That is selfishness. But love is giving. Husbands, you ought to learn how to give. Wives, you learn how to give. Hey, children, learn how to give back to those that is given to you like your parents. Hey, we need to learn to give to others. Give because that's how you are demonstrated love, by giving. Love, you demonstrate love by giving actions. And then you show your love by deeds, by works that you do, things that you do for God. A Christian's love is demonstrated by the works that we do for him. I love him because he first loved me. Somebody go to church. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I don't work to get saved, but I work because I am saved. That means if I'm going to show God that I love God, I am going to have to demonstrate some actions and deeds back to him. Somebody go to church. I don't live my life for me. I'm not supposed to live my life for myself, but I am supposed to sacrifice my own things to demonstrate my love for God because he first loved me. Oh, where would we be tonight? like the song said that Sister Libby sang. We cannot take the benefits. We cannot put it upon ourselves, the things that the grace of God and where God has brought us from. We cannot take the glory, but He deserves the glory. He deserves the glory. He deserves the glory because of His love for us. Where would we be tonight with absent from the love of God? Absent from the grace of God? Absent from the mercy of God? We would be, my friend, in a bad place. Some of us would be dead and in hell, burning and in hell because of no hope. But so our love to God, that's what we're talking about tonight, our love for God shows actions. It's doing the things for God without being asked. Jesus asked for us to do it, but most of the time we don't do things that God would have us to do unless a preacher preaches on it, or a Sunday school teacher sings about it, or teaches about it, or someone sings about it, or you read it in a paper, then it sparks your mind. Well, I ought to witness, I ought to tell somebody about Jesus. That's what God intended us to do in our life, is tell people about Jesus. We need to get our eyes upon the Great Commission, and get our eyes upon the souls of men and not our own selves. If you really want to have joy in your heart, it's got to be Jesus first, and it's got to be others. Then it can be you. Somebody go to church with me. I'm trying to tell you tonight, if we get our eyes off ourselves and get our eyes on the things that God would have us to do, then God would see that we really love Him, and He would show, if you give to Him, He'll give back to you. You know why Christians are in poverty? Because they don't give to God. They're too worried about themselves. Christians are in poverty all over the world. And all they can see is their own problems and their own needs. But there's a God in heaven who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Who's got storehouses of blessings and storehouses of provisions. And He's not hurting for one thing in this old world, friend. Oh, but let me tell you, when the church of the living God would step out and reach out again. I said reach out again and step out again and go again and go again and sacrifice again. Again and help one more time and witness to one more person and go one more place and do one more good deed and serve the Lord one more time and sacrifice one more time. Hey friend, it'll be worth it all. It'll be worth it all. It'll be worth it all when you get to heaven, friend. God will start showering you down with some storehouses of blessings of Him. You give Him a little thimbleful, He'll gonna back up a dump truck load behind and pour you out some blessings that you couldn't even put in your own satchel. You couldn't take home with you. You're gonna have to find somehow somebody to help you carry it home. You say, "I don't believe in that principle." Oh, you don't believe in that principle. You ain't read John chapter number 6 when the little lad had some lunch and he brought it to a big group of people, and the people was hungry, and Jesus and the disciples said, "Hey, how are we going to feed this people?" And Andrew saw this little boy that had lunch. He said, "There's a little lad here that's got a lunch." And the little lad gave Jesus his lunch. Am I right? Am I right? Somebody go to church. And the little lad gave Jesus his lunch. Amen. It may not have been much. Amen. It may not have been a great portion. You say, "Well, I'm going to wait till I get a great portion. Then I'm going to give God. I'm going to wait till God qualifies me. Then I'm going to serve God. I'm going to wait to this or wait for that." Friend, if you're going to wait, you'll never get there, friend. You better start giving now and start serving now and give God what He's given to you. Am I right? A little lad gave him his lunch. Amen. And Jesus started breaking that bread and breaking that fish. And they fed 5,000 people. That's what they did, 5,000 people. And then they had 12 baskets full. Amen. Yeah, that little lad brought home 12 baskets full. And he said, "Mama, look what Jesus did for me." He said, "Oh, I did. I didn't have much, and I know You fixed it for me. Hey, but all these people were hungry out here. How all these people were starving out here. All these people was needing something I had. Somebody go to church. All these people was needing something that You gave me, Mama. Hey, so I just gave it to Jesus, and I said, 'Jesus, it ain't much, and it don't really amount to much in the world's view and the world's eyes. Hey, but Jesus, if You'll take it, and Jesus, if You can do something with it, God, it's all Yours.'" Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says the harvest truly is plenteous.
It says that the laborers are few. It says, pray ye that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. Friend, I got to wonder, hey, tonight, if we would really display, hey, the true love of God in our heart, you know what you and I would do? We'd say, Jesus loves me, and I love Jesus. So I got to tell somebody about him. And if you and I, hey, would get our eyes on an eternal world, that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and a life gonna live, and then one day you're gonna die. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, get your eyes on eternity. Eternity is soon. Eternity is real. Eternity is long. You want to learn how to love God. Hey, love others, friend, and get your eyes on eternity. Eternity, 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 and you'll just see the love of God will just come oozing out of you. Amen. You won't be able to pass somebody up, hey, without telling them the love of God. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to go that way. You don't have to live without hope. You don't have to live without victory. You don't have to live, hey, in that condition. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You can be set free. You can be loosed, amen. You can be, hey, out of that bondage, and you can know that you're saved and going to heaven when you die. Yes, amen. Get back to tearing up Jack, as Brother Kurt said, amen. Doing things for God, amen. Hey, you can do it at work, you can do it at Harps, you can do it at the gas station, you can do it, hey, you can live for God no matter where you're at and what you do. Hey, let me tell you, one way that you love God is to do deeds. Another way that you know that you love God is that you'll never denounce his name. You really love God? Stand up for him. Don't denounce his name in the workplace. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Hey, the very thing that you and I am ashamed of saying, and the very name that I'm ashamed of saying sometimes, is the very name and the very gospel, hey, that'll set a sinner free, friend. If I really love Jesus, I'm not going to deny him. I'm not going to be ashamed of him. I'm not going to be a coward. You think you love Jesus. Hey, but you get in a group and a multitude of blasphemers. Let's see if you really love God or not. Somebody go to church. Hey, man, some of us ain't witnessed like we should. Some of us ain't prayed like we should. Some of us ain't led nobody to the Lord in years. And we wonder why, hey, that we're not blessed by God. Let me tell you why. It's because you've not demonstrated some love back to God that he deserves. He saved you. He sealed you. He sent us here, hey, to witness and save a soul from hell. We need to get back to telling somebody about Jesus Christ and about the love of God. Amen. Be caught right up in that love. Amen. I mean, it's catching. The love of God, I mean, you can't hardly stop talking about it. Once you started talking about it, believe me, I know I didn't plan to preach this, but God did. Amen. I went over the house about 5 o'clock to take me to get dressed. And I came back over here about 6, and God said on the way over here, he said, do you love me? That's on the way over. I've been studying for 4 hours. I got all kinds of stuff, man. I mean, God said, tell him about the love. Tell him about the love. Ask him if they love me. He said, ask him if they love me today. Ask him if they really love me today. And I'm going to ask you, do you love Jesus? Can he tell that you love Jesus? Can he tell that you love him? He said, I'll never denounce him. The Bible says in Matthew 10:32, it says, deny me before you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. Now that's not, if you're saved, you're sealed. I'm not talking about you're going to lose your salvation. But he's talking about child. He's telling the Jews, he's telling the disciples not to deny him. And I'm going to tell you, as the followers of Jesus Christ, hey, do not deny the Lord. He may deny you somewhere on this earth. Hey, when you stand before God, there's no denial. God's never going to deny you. Hey, but there might be a situation that he'll look down. He'll say, I just wonder, huh? I just wonder, he's not acting like my child. He's not taking up for me. Amen. Somebody go to church. Look in chapter 4. You're in 1 John 4. Look at verse number 9. And this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only Son into the world that we
Get this. Why did he send his only son? That we might live through him. That's why God sent his son. That you might live. He didn't say, hey, that you could have. Because if you would do this, I would send my son. If you would do this, I'll save you. If you'll say this, I'll save you. Or if you'll act like this, I'll save you. He said, I'm sending my son that they can live. Because if they don't, they're going to die. He said, wherein is love? Wherein is love? Not that we should, that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Let me tell you, you need to stand up for Jesus because he stood up for you. Stand up for Jesus. We sing the song, stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, raise high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. Hey, but so many times we're not raising it very high. Somebody go to church. Some of us ain't raised it up at all. The banner of the cross. I'm a Christian. I'm a blood-bought child of God. I'm a saved and joint heir with Jesus Christ. But not only that, I'm a soldier of the cross. I'm the gospel message. I'm the word of God that God has chosen to preach into a lost and dying world. I am the love of God displayed on this earth. Christians displaying the love of God, standing up for Jesus. He said he went into this world just so that you can live. You know how you know that you love God? You desire to spend more time with him than anything else. Huh? I said you desire to spend more time with him than you sleep. I gave a devotion to the children at school the other day, and we talked about the thing that you do the most, that's what you're better at. You're best at whatever you do the most. If you sleep the most, you're pretty good at it. Amen? If you eat the most, then you'll get good at it. Right? If you work the most, you'll be good at it. That's all you'll be good at. But if you love God and you live for God the most, you say, I'm not trying to get good at it. You better get good at it. You better start getting good at loving God. Hey, yeah, practice what you preach. Somebody go to church. Hey, you can't just say it. You got to live it. Somebody go to church. You got to live it, friend. We need to learn to get good at what we do for Christ. What we do for Christ, we ought to do the best at. Give our best, amen? No matter what we're doing, if we're coming to church, we dress our best. God deserves the best. We sing the best we can. We honor God the best we can. We worship God with all of our heart because God deserves the best from what he's done for us. So many times we don't give God our best and we're not displaying the love that he deserves in our life. Back to him. If you love God, you'll desire to spend more time with him. I'm not saying that you do, you should, and I should. But if you added up our time, I imagine we spent more time in other things than really thinking and praying. And I don't mean you got to walk around like this with a Bible in your nose. Walk around everywhere you go and work. That don't mean that talking about you're meditating. David said, I've meditated on the Lord day and night. He said, I'm just thinking about God. I mean, his love. Then I'm going to think about his grace. Then I'm going to think about his mercy. Then I'm going to think about heaven. Then I'm going to think about eternity. When I get to thinking about eternity, I'm not some man, that boy right there, I need to tell him about eternity. Eternity. She might need eternity. She might need me to tell him about there's an eternity. Hey, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And so I get to finding myself, all I'm thinking about is trying to do what God would have me to do. And before I know it, I'm having the time of my life. People are getting saved. Lives are being changed. I'm starting to be used for God again. I'm feeling sufficient again. I'm feeling fulfilled. Again, and because God is choosing me, because I'm giving what God gave me. Amen. Hey, there's still people that need to be saved, am I right? There's still lives that need to be changed, am I right? Let me tell you, I'm not trying to get on to your church. I'm trying to encourage you. Don't give up on somebody. Don't give up on a family. Don't give up on your praying. Hey, come! Don't give up on your faithfulness to God. Hey, keep living for Jesus. Keep falling in love with him. Oh, Brother Kurt LeBeau sung a song. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. His love is sweeter as the days go by. It's sweeter as the moments fly. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Thank God for his love.
I desire to spend time with Him. I desire to spend time in prayer. I desire to spend time in my Word. I desire to spend meditation time with Him in quietness. Quietness. Thinking about God and thinking about His love. That's where I get my fuel, is meditation. You know why I get my fuel? In prayer. There's power in prayer. You want to find, there's two ingredients that have sparked revivals for centuries. Two things. Number one is prevailing through prayer and power in preaching. But you can't have one without the other. You know what I can do tonight? I can perform and try to do a good job, and some people are really good at it. But there's no power and no effect. It doesn't affect the people. They come as they were and leave as they was. Oh, but there's something about the Holy Ghost. There's something about the Holy Ghost. There's something about the presence of God. There's something about the power of God that you can pray and prevail and prevail. Friend, you're going to take this home with you. You ain't going to leave it here at the church. You're going to be thinking about it because God is on you. And God is going home with you tonight. I said God's going home with you tonight. If you'll let Him, desire to spend more time with Him. Let me say, do you know you love God? He loves you. He said, beloved, let us love one another, for love it is God, and everyone that loveth God is born of God and knoweth God. Hallelujah. Woo! That's pretty good commitment right there, huh? How many of y'all ever made a commitment to God and didn't follow through? You see, love is demonstrated in consistency. You can tell your wife you love her all the time. And some men say, well, I told her at the wedding, and it's been 40 years, I thought she still knew, right? Huh? You ought to tell her every once in a while. But not only tell her every once in a while, but show her every once in a while. Sacrifice. I don't love my wife like I should, I guarantee you. You say, why? Because I want to show her a lot of things, but I don't. She deserves more of the love that I can give her, that I give her. Not I can, but I give her. My wife does. I don't know about your wife, but my wife does. I'm just confessing before you. But God does too. God deserves a whole lot more love than I show Him. He deserves a whole lot more out of me. Not out of grudgery, not out of deeds, not out of works and drudgery, but because I love Him. Not of what He does, not because of all the things He's given us, not because of all the provisions, but because of who He is. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the everlasting, yeah, I like this, everlasting Father. That's my Lord. But I wonder tonight if He looked down upon our hearts tonight. I wonder if He watched us today. If He could say, I know He loves me because look at there. And then look at that. And then look at here. You say, well, I'm at church. Ain't it good enough? I don't know, is it? I think it has something to do with it. I think it demonstrates your love for God, no doubt. I think it shows your faithfulness to God, no doubt. And I'm not trying to get on to you. I'm just trying to help you tonight. I wonder how much love we've given to the Lord. This is what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon you. I mean, He just gave it to you freely. You didn't ask Him to come and to die, did you? You didn't say, God, send me your Son, and I'll believe. Is that what you said? No, God's seen the need. God's seen a lost humanity because of the fall of Adam, dying without a blood sacrifice, dying in their sin. God seen the need and sent His only begotten Son. What's it say? Say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
It's a wonderful manner of love that he loves us. But let me ask you again, do you really love God? Do you really love God? That's a big question, ain't it? It's a loaded question. Do I really love God? Let's stand. Let's search our hearts tonight. Let's search our hearts. If God's touched your heart, I don't know what else to do. This is not what I had planned tonight. This is what God had planned. So you search your heart. God's maybe you just need to pray. Maybe you need to thank God for loving you. But maybe you need to search your heart and say, have I loved God like I should? Have I demonstrated my love to God lately? Have I demonstrated it through witnessing? Have I demonstrated it through giving? Have I demonstrated it through good things, deeds, and works? Have I showed the Lord lately that I love Him? And I hope maybe there'd be some Christians, maybe there'd be just one that'll leave tonight. So you know what I'm going to do tomorrow by the grace of God? I'm going to demonstrate my love for God tomorrow. I guarantee you, your day will be better. Your life will be different. If we could get this principle, I want to demonstrate my love for God tomorrow. So many times we don't mean to. We're not bad people. We're good people. We're not ugly people. We don't mean to be hateful. We don't want to be hateful. That's not in our hearts. We're not bitter and walking around hurting somebody. We don't want to hurt somebody. But so many times we lose opportunity to demonstrate the love of God to others, to this world. And not just demonstrate it to them, but to show God that I love Him. I wonder what would happen if we just fell in love with God and then started showing Him that we loved Him. I know some things that'll happen. I guarantee I've got Bible scripture to show you and show you some things tonight that'll happen when you turn your life and you start loving God the way He deserves. Hey, we all need this, church. Your preacher needs this. I'm being honest with you tonight. Let's bow our head just for a moment. Every head bowed and eyes closed. Will there be one here tonight? Say, preacher, I've not really loved God like I should. But I want to. Would you pray for me that God would show me and give me an opportunity that I could show Him I love Him? God bless you. I see that. God bless you. I want to show God. I want an opportunity. There's many of us, and I have failed many, many times, church. Opportunities after opportunities for me to show God that I love Him by loving others. But you know what I've done? I've passed it up. I've been maybe too bashful, or maybe just the circumstance wasn't perfect. You know what I'm saying? God help us. But you know what? We can find forgiveness for God, and God will give us another opportunity. You know, I've prayed for lately. I've been praying for seeking opportunities, just opportunities after opportunities for God to use me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us, I pray. Bless those at the altar and those praying in the pews. God, meet the needs tonight. Lord, I'm not really for sure what all this was about, and I pray, God, that we honored You and we obeyed You, Lord, fully. Lord, this is what You wanted tonight. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know You as their personal Lord and Savior, they haven't given their lives to You, surrendered their love over to You. Maybe they don't even know love, never felt love, because they're absent from the love of God. I pray, Lord, that they would come, they would surrender their lives to You. Lord, You would fill them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet with the love of God. God, that they would walk out of here with love. Lord, if there's some Christians in here tonight that maybe we've not had demonstrated or had the love of God in our life, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would come and they would just empty themselves Lord, they would, that you would fill them with your love. And Lord, they would leave here tonight with a love for brethren, with a love for testimony, with a love for the gospel, with their eyes upon the reality of eternity, so that souls can hear the gospel message and be saved. Lord, your love was demonstrated because you never rejected one person. You never rejected one sinner. You never turned one sinner down. Lord, you saved them, you forgave them, and then you changed them. God, we pray. You help us to demonstrate this in Jesus' name. Amen.